Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents Brand Renegades, Our Fearless Path from Startup to Global Brand, by Sean and Thora Dowdell. Narrated by Sean and Thora Dowdell. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to visual elements present in the print and ebook formats of the book.
Introduction. We are entrepreneurs who currently own 13 successful businesses. We have been in business since 1995 and currently have more than 100 employees. Our largest company is Club Tattoo, a luxury tattoo and piercing studio chain that grosses more than $12 million annually and continues to expand. We have retail locations in some of the most successful and sought-after properties in the U.S., such as the Grand Canal Shops at the Venetian Resort, Miracle Mile Shops at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, the Link Hotel and Experience, and the Fifth Avenue Shopping District in Scottsdale, Arizona, just to name a few. We have done global business collaborations with brands such as Caesars Entertainment, Soul Technology, Etney Shoes, Jardin, Oster, Bicycle Playing Cards, and many more. This is just a sample of our business resume, but it gives you an idea of who we are and how we got here. After 23 years of marriage, as of 2021, 2 children, several homes, 13 companies, and well over 100 employees, it is a wonderful feeling to share our story with other entrepreneurs. We have been quite successful and will share some of those successes with you throughout this book. However, we believe the more interesting parts of our story are told through our failures, our challenges, and how we dealt with them. Sometimes our reactions were intuitive, other times they were emotional and ended up not working out so well. In any case, we hope you find our story inspiring, uplifting, and at least interesting. We both grew up in the 1970s under the Jimmy Carter administration, during one of the worst economic climates the United States has ever seen. Both of us had parents who worked full-time and were what was then known as latchkey children. We learned at a young age to be independent thinkers and understood that if we wanted something, we had to create the opportunity to get it. We chose the entrepreneur's path of going out and creating it for ourselves. Through hard work and perseverance, we would create businesses worth tens of millions of dollars, employ thousands of people over the years, and make a meaningful impact not only on our industry, but on our community as well. Thora. I grew up in a small town called Price, Utah. It was a small coal mining community with a population of about 8,500, in which the haves and the have-nots were completely segregated. Although my extended family was quite large, with many cousins, uncles, aunts, etc., my nuclear family was small. It was just me, my mother Willie Lou, and my father Gino, and my brother Jason. My mother and father divorced when I was 7 years old, and my brother and I were given a choice of which parent we wanted to live with. It seemed like a cruel choice to give a child, but I understand that at that time they were doing what they thought was best. After all, back then, there were not as many resources to help people cope with difficult situations. I chose my mother, and Jason chose our father. Once our families were separated, my mother struggled to provide for us throughout my upbringing. While holding down a full-time job, she also worked as a waitress on the side to help support us. We lived in a low-income housing development just outside of town that was nicknamed Divorce Alley, due to the many single women with children who lived there. She did her best, and I became the person I am today through many of the tough lessons I had to go through while growing up under those circumstances. I believe my drive to succeed was created through watching my mother's sheer determination to never give up and always get up and try again.
Sean, I also grew up in a blue-collar family with two hard-working parents, Kip and Kathy, along with my brother Kelly and sister Shannon in Phoenix, Arizona. I had a small extended family, limited to a few cousins, one aunt, and two uncles. My strongest family bonding memories are with my grandparents. My grandmothers, Lois and Editha, along with my grandfather, Russell, were hugely influential in my upbringing and helped create what would become my determination to build special things. Both my mother and father demonstrated the importance of a strong work ethic when I was growing up. I think I only saw them take 4 or 5 sick days, this is probably an exaggeration, but it's how I remember them, over my entire childhood. They worked hard every day and provided for us children the best they could. We still struggled financially during my childhood, especially when my father left his job and went back to college to get his degree. I admire the courage it must have taken for my parents to tackle a challenge like that in the late 1970s and early 1980s. I always had a feeling of missing out on things as a child, whether it was the vacations my friends were going on, the clothes we couldn't afford, or the coolest new stereo to play our cassette tapes on. However, as I look back, we were always fed, clothed, and had a solid roof over our heads, along with parents who cared enough to push their children forward. I got my work ethic from my parents, but I most certainly take after my grandfather in the way I approach business. I was around 10 years old when he started teaching me about being an entrepreneur, talking about the printing business he had owned and operated back in Illinois. He had very fond memories of that time and always made running a business sound like an exciting adventure. These simple conversations as a child would inspire me to become an entrepreneur myself and eventually go into business with my wife. We would create one of the most successful businesses in our industry and hopefully inspire other entrepreneurs to do the same. When we went into business together, it wasn't really a conscious, strategic decision. At the time, it was simply a natural progression to our relationship. In the first few years, we fumbled through working together as best we knew how, often exploding into huge, unnecessary fights that could have easily been avoided had we been willing to understand each other's perspectives. To be completely honest, nearly all the early challenges and pain points were self-inflicted due to poor communication and lacking a basic understanding of what our roles should be in the operations of the company. Both of us were stubborn and young and thought we knew what was best in nearly any situation, and did not understand the importance of acknowledging our weaknesses and holding ourselves accountable for our mistakes. It was unfathomable for us to admit when we were wrong and change direction or give in to each other's wishes. That felt like defeat rather than compromise and willingness to change based on better information or experience. These were lessons we had to learn the hard way. Although we faced many such lessons in the early years of running our company together, we overcame each of our challenges because we never gave up and were always willing to work harder. Albeit at times, we were simply working harder and not smarter, as we would learn later on. What to expect in this book? We wrote this book for entrepreneurs who need a little advice and encouragement, and who need to see that others have gone through and overcome similar challenges of building their businesses and brands. So many business books focus on huge corporations and deal with concepts that sometimes do not translate well into small business practices without a ton of stripping down. You don't have time to take apart Amazon's business practices or marketing strategies to see how you might apply a piece of that to your business. It's not practical for most people, and usually it doesn't scale down very well anyway. Our purpose for writing this book is to offer real-world experience at a level that can be understood quickly and to offer lessons and solutions that can be applied to your own small business brand. We want to give you hope when things get tough. It is important for entrepreneurs to have someone they can relate to who has faced the same issues and problems they are dealing with in their own business. We were lucky enough to have not only each other for support, but also several other key mentors and friends who helped us push forward through the darkest times. Hopefully, some of our experiences can help bring you clarity, and with that clarity, you can overcome fear and become more focused and decisive. With decisiveness, you can take measured action, and with your actions, there will come positive change. Success as an entrepreneur has but one common element, and that is the will to work harder than almost anyone else. But we recognize that success also leaves clues, as Tony Robbins would say. And when we analyzed how our businesses became successful, we were able to measure many of the practices we implemented over the years. In this book, we will lay out many of the principles that we have taken from other businesses and some that we have developed for our business, and we will share our successes, failures, and pain points over the years so you too can become a true brand renegade. Entrepreneurs are the only people crazy enough to quit a job working 40 hours a week for someone else just so we can have the freedom to work 70 hours a week for ourselves. That is the strange logic by which we work every day. The freedom to choose our path is worth the sacrifice and extra work. It hasn't always been pretty, but for us, it has been a wonderful journey, and in the end, it was worth it. We hope you'll find it worthwhile too.
Chapter 1. Our Brand Renegade Origin Story. We were from completely different worlds until a third party's interference forced a meeting that would change our lives and an entire industry forever. What would lead a rock star and a corporate manager to think we could go into an industry perceived as dark, dirty, and disreputable, and profit from flipping it on its ass? Some might even acknowledge we have played a major role in bringing this industry into a more mainstream existence. And if that doesn't sound like enough of a challenge, try this on. We're not just business partners. We're also a married couple of 22 years who are raising two sons, Brennan and Karsten. We both play full out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year in all aspects of our life together. Don't be fooled, because we'll be the first ones to tell you it's not always pretty or easy. As a matter of fact, there are days that downright suck. We're two uniquely passionate, motivated, and opinionated people who bring different perspectives, temperaments, and skill sets to the business and the marriage. But against the odds, as business partners, life partners, and parenting team, we're living the meaning of the words, brand renegades. We turned the tattoo and piercing industry inside out and built a thriving, mainstream, $30 million business empire. As of the end of 2019, we have 6 luxury locations of Club Tattoo in 2 states and manage more than 100 staff members. We have survived the odds on multiple levels. 78% of small businesses fail in the first 5 years, and 50% of marriages fail in the first 5 years, too. Depending on which study you're reading, It's widely estimated that 25 to 70% of business partnerships also fail. But we simply don't care about the odds or how other people do things. As industry disruptors and brand renegades, we do business on our terms, on our timeline, and in our own way. We don't care that it's never been done that way before. We don't care who gets angry or walks out, because we are ultimately secure in the fact that we're doing the right things by our standards, in the way we conduct business, treat our employees, and care for our customers. We were not reckless or irresponsible. Well, there were a few times we might have been a little bit reckless, but sometimes deciding to do something, even if the right answer isn't clear, is better than doing nothing at all. Sometimes it turned out well, and other times we lost millions of dollars. But we always learn something valuable about ourselves or the business from the experience. Meanwhile, other people were sitting around waiting for someone else to tell them what to do or how to do it. Or they were doing the same old thing for too little pay or for no pay at all. Here's a recent example of how we went against what others said was possible in a way that disrupted mainstream wisdom and standards in the industry. We wanted to open our first tattoo studio outside the Arizona market and decided to build one on the main Las Vegas Strip inside Planet Hollywood's Miracle Mile shops. Our feedback included comments like, "You're going to lose millions. It won't work because it's never been done before. Tattoos can't compete with those high-dollar, more respected businesses. You'll never be able to pay those high-dollar rents and survive." But think about it. The Strip is bright lights, excitement, 24-hour-a-day, carefree fun. What comes to mind for businesses on the Strip besides casino gambling? There are world-class stage shows, high-end restaurants, and designer brand stores. We felt there was a market void for experience-based shopping in the immediate market. Vegas had plenty of luxury shopping, but very few immersive experiences that were attractive to the masses. We knew we could fill that void in a higher-end luxury atmosphere. In 2009, we added bright lights and a clean storefront that housed the newest flagship Club Tattoo location. It opened with 3 employees, 6 tattoo artists, and 2 body piercers. Now it has 14 employees, 13 artists, and 3 professional body piercers. This location was so successful that we nearly lost everything before we could get it established. When we opened the doors, there was a line as far as we could see of people wanting tattoos. We could not keep up with the demand. If this had been our first store, we would have crumbled under the sheer pressure. Given our experience, we thought we were prepared, but no way. We underestimated how successful this location was going to be, which is a good problem to have, but still a problem. You want to kill a great business model? Provide a bad customer experience any day of the week, but especially on day one. Word of mouth will spread faster than you could imagine, especially in the current business world of Facebook, Google, and Yelp, where people can negatively impact your business with a few touches on their phone. To overcome those initial challenges, we adjusted by working what we felt like 1 million hours a week. Staffing was obviously a huge need. We had to quadruple our staff fast. We also had to figure out systems and processes for the new space and adjust for the different laws and code requirements in Nevada versus Arizona. We had to rely a lot on outside professional advice and make that fit into our business model in this new location. Fortunately, we adjusted and responded quickly, which saved our business and reputations. But the nonstop demand prompted us to open a second studio in 2015 at another luxury Las Vegas location, the Link Hotel and Experience. These two locations are enormously successful, and the demand for tattoos, piercing, and the club tattoo lifestyle continues to grow. Customer demand remained high enough, even after all these years, that in 2019, we opened a third club tattoo in the Venetian Resort. If we didn't do things on our terms, in our way, and on our timeline, we would have missed these opportunities. If we had listened to the people who said, "It's never been done," or "It can't be done," we would have just watched someone else come along and do it. Instead, we focused on our brand and how we could flip the script on what it means to grow a business. As brand renegades, we take bold action and are willing to take extreme risks to conduct business in a completely different way. We know when to ask the hard questions about our business and how to tell the difference between why and why not. With Las Vegas, it was a matter of why not do it. What did we have to lose rather than what did we have to gain? With our first store, we had to personally guarantee everything. So if it had failed, we may have lost our savings, our home, and other businesses. It was a huge risk. But on the other hand, if we succeeded, we would be creating something that hadn't existed in our industry up until that point. The obvious upside was the financial growth to us personally and professionally, along with the continued growth of the company. We took calculated risks to grow the Club Tattoo brand, and they paid off. Thora, I just kept saying, "Why does it have to be like this?" I kept questioning. When Sean talked about our pricing, for example, I asked, "Why do we have to do it like that?" He knows I hate the answer. Well, that's the way it's always been done. That makes me want to find a way to do it, not just differently, but better. So, we look at everything in question, why or why not? Is this the best way to do this or not? How can we make it better? The Brand Renegade Blueprint. As we built our business, it became clear that we had a unique opportunity to reset common perceptions of the tattoo and piercing industry and take our brand to a national level. To do that, we had to lean into a brand renegade mindset and apply it to our daily operations. To be a brand renegade, you have to take those standard views of your own business or industry and disrupt them to create a new brand identity. You have to both disrupt your industry and elevate your brand. So we decided not to seek approval from people, question advice, and go with our ideas of how that input works or doesn't work for us. This means implementing different systems, processes, policies, and procedures than anyone else in the industry. We prioritized how to move the tattoo and piercing industries forward as a more mainstream, P&L-focused business by giving considerations to things like updating health and safety policies, procedures, and standards, using billing and appointment technology, and automating as much as possible, even in calculating costs for the tattoo artwork, assuring higher rates of payment and better treatment of the artists and other employees, treating tattoo artists and body piercers like business assets who deserve to earn a respectable wage and be provided the supplies needed to do the job properly, adding a quality retail outlet that enhanced the brand as a desirable for-sale sideline, not as a marketing giveaway, hiring people who might have little experience but a strong work ethic, providing solid training, and then getting out of the way to let them do their job. Some of these considerations are fairly commonplace in other industries, but they didn't exist within our industry and were massively disruptive. We don't throw around that term, industry disruption, lightly. It tends to be used too frequently by people who are either full of hot air, don't know what the hell they're talking about, or both. Unless you're changing what everyone else in your industry is doing in some dramatic new way, you're simply not an industry disruptor, nor are you a brand renegade. A brand renegade makes huge changes that everyone else turns their heads to notice, which makes a lot of other people in the industry uncomfortable and agitated. These emotions are nearly always rooted in fear. For example, the fear of falling behind their direct competitor's technology may lead a company's leaders to simply scoff at their competitor's innovations rather than truly examine what is being innovated and therefore analyzing the potential benefits to their own business model. The other important quality of a brand renegade is success. A business owner can't be called a renegade if they shake up the marketplace, get media attention, have lines of customers for a week or two, but then close their doors forever because the risk they took led to bankruptcy. This is a flash-in-the-pan fad, not a true disruption fueled by a brand renegade. The successful brand renegade has staying power and causes others to ask, what are they doing and how can we do it too? Qualities of a brand renegade. Business owners who succeed in reframing their industries and elevating their brands doesn't just refer to new businesses coming into a marketplace and doing well. For example, it's not Kinko's coming in to compete with CopyMax in the high-speed color copying business. It's not a new fast food chain competing with three of the most successful disruptive chains, Subway, McDonald's, or KFC. The food served doesn't qualify any of these businesses as industry disruptors or brand renegades. It must have operations, structure, format, or other business functions that are dramatically different from any other fast food chain on earth. A new business may take market share away from the existing companies, but market share is not the same thing as turning an industry upside down in a distinctly successful, powerful way. Examples of true industry disruptors that come to mind are Facebook. Facebook was a latecomer to the online social media scene, but it took advantage of growing technology capabilities to reinvent how social connections were used. Then it disrupted the industry again with low-cost, closely targeted advertising. The disruption succeeded so well that it was the death knell for platforms like Friendster and MySpace. Facebook didn't just come in and take market share by connecting people online. It changed the way social media platforms functioned, attracted billions of users, and kept them engaged for longer periods of time. Tesla. Tesla is a company that came into the business scene with a lot of promises that many of its competitors scoffed at or simply laughed off. The mission was to change the entire world with electric vehicle technology and slow the use of fossil fuels. Its CEO, Elon Musk, had a bold vision for his company right out of the gate and nearly went bankrupt in the process. Not only did his company end up riding out the financial storm and break the enormous barrier to invention and entry into the marketplace, but they have become the seventh largest auto company in the world and climbing fast. Tesla's technology has not only changed the world of automobiles, but it is also now proving it can accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy. Uber. Uber transformed the public access to transportation industry in a dramatic way. Many say it hurt the taxi industry, but it also spurred the creation of copycat companies like Lyft and helped foster the gig economy. In this case, Uber found a better way of serving the consumer, which in many cases forced the taxi business to make some dramatic changes to compete. Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has become a standout among its competitors in the fast food chain industry in the past two decades. Most Americans used to have an image of hamburgers or pizza when thinking of a fast food chain. Not anymore. Not only has Chick-fil-A become one of the fastest growing fast food chains in the world, but it has also done so without being open on Sundays like its competitors. Furthermore, they are competing in the standard hamburger space.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?